Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
The way I was being used, I felt like I was, you know, Doc was trying to play me as like a Ray Allen or like a JJ Redick, like all pin downs, all like, I can do it, but that ain't my game, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I need some flow. I need some mixes of pick and rolls. I need some post-ups.
All that.
Just different touches, you know what I mean? And so it was just, you know, that last season was just hard.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
Yeah. With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
I'm telling you, man, I would whip Floyd Mayweather's ass.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. Coming up on today's show, I don't know, we're almost at the NBA season, right? Like, we got stuff going on. We got Russ, we got Harden, we've got hope, we've got grief, we've got a lot of stuff to get to, and we're going to start off with Trevon Edwards, we got Dave DeFore, we got Jay King, we got Wozni Lambre, we got Jade Hoy pushing buttons, and joining us this week, our special guest, our friend, NBA insider Tom Haberstroh, who knows a thing or two about podcasting. Tom, welcome to the show. What podcast do you have for us?
Oh, wow. Zach, what a great question. This is, I'm trying to think, like, is it Chris Paul throwing the alley-oop to Tyson Chandler? Is that what, I'm trying to think of a throwback there.
Yeah.
I'm relaunching my podcast, the Haberstroh podcast, and, I'm just basically going all over the world. I'm touring the country right now.
Got to.
And trying to open for as many acts as possible. And there is no bigger act than the Basket Buds.
The Basket Buds are here on the old Athletic podcast network. So that's exciting. So when does it all kick back off?
Very kind of Tom to say, but my paycheck would not reflect that.
Tom, I would assume that you could only find this podcast in just a small amount of places, or is that a wrong assumption?
Oh, that's a terrible assumption on your part. What else is new, Zach? The podcast is going to be wherever you listen to podcasts. I don't know why people do that anymore, because I feel like there's only a few podcasts that you're like, you can only listen at this place, but you kind of have to go through the motions and say, oh, it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. Like, people never go on the radio and they're like, hey, I wrote a book and you can find it at all bookstores everywhere.
I think they kind of do. Any and all booksellers or I think that's a thing.
I mean, they say it, but you're also
that,
like,
right. Well, you don't want to implicitly endorse one app or ecosystem because, you know, you can't have the Android and Apple people mad at you.
Yeah, I
don't mind if the Android people are mad at me.
Well, they ought to be. I mean, their lives are frustrating.
Yeah, I do it all for the BlackBerry folks.
So just Mark Stein.
Team BB.
Just Mark Stein. Okay. Hey, speaking of Mark Stein, guys, turns out we got some news coming out of Houston as we're starting to record this on a Sunday afternoon. And some of that's been reported and relayed by Mark Stein, some of it by Tim McMahon, some of it just by the press conference in general for the Houston Rockets. James Harden not able to practice with the team on Sunday. He's expected to have an individual workout. And Waz, this is interesting for several reasons, but one of them is there, you know, just some thoughts about whether James wants to be there and maybe what he was doing instead of making sure he was there in time to get tested, because it's COVID protocol for why. And I don't think that means that he hasn't necessarily, just that you have to be there in a certain amount of time to test and make sure you're in the clear before you can join those group workouts. And Waz, that didn't so much happen with James Harden.
Yeah, you know, the reports came out. We all read the reports that said James Harden is kind of over being in Houston. He feels like the franchise is now rudderless. There's nothing more to do. He wants to join his pal KD in Brooklyn if he had his dream scenario. And, you know, that's generally when you're when you're mad about your job, you don't show up on time, you don't stay later than you need to, you're kind of short with people, you don't even say good morning when you walk in. That's all James Harden is doing right now. He's upset, so he didn't show up on time. That's all.
Tom, are you concerned about this Rockets franchise just in the sense of like them having a successful season. And by successful, I just mean not being a disaster and getting into the playoffs and being like, okay.
I'm selling all of the stock, all of the stock on the Rockets. I do think that was it RPM that had them as like a top four team in the Western Conference in the projections?
I don't know. Anyone
vouch for that? Anyway, their projection systems that have like Houston as a top four team in the Western Conference. I'm selling all of that stock.
And are they using Prime Boogie and Prime John Wall in those calculations?
They're using Christian Wood, which he's now on his seventh team, I think, in the last 6 months.
And he was just starting to learn how to play defense last year.
Right. And when what does it tell you when the Charlotte Hornets bailed, the New Orleans Pelicans bailed, the Milwaukee Bucks bailed, the Detroit Pistons, who had every incentive to take this star, this diamond in the rough that they had nurtured and blossomed into their program and be like, hey, look at what our player development staff has done and our organization has done. Let's sign this guy up long term. And they're like, no, you guys can have him. And then you throw in DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall coming off an Achilles, James Harden, who's very upset, a first-year head coach. I love Steven Silas, but when you're dealing with all the egos on this team and all the people who have to reclaim some of their status, their previous status in the NBA, that is not something you want to throw at a first-year head coach. And he has subbed in Charlotte when Steve Clifford was sidelined, but this is a whole nother animal. And with Houston, it kind of crystallizes a theory of mine going into this season. You guys ready for this?
Yes.
Ready. Okay. I'm not ready.
Shoot me.
You're not ready for this bomb that's about to hit. It's a very, very lame take. But here it is. I think players with families are going to be at an advantage this season.
Ooh.
Okay.
Because it's easier, easier to stay home.
Here was a chuckle back there.
automatically I'm skeptical that a wife and kids is going to make you better, but go ahead.
My theory is, I guess family is a very loose term I'm using here. I should be a little bit more specific. Someone who has like a nuclear family in this a household with, people stability. Around them constantly. Stability, right? Yeah. I feel like those people are going to have an easier time getting through an NBA season with the protocols that are basically saying, like, you can't do anything socially for this entire season. That's going to be a whole lot easier. So, like, the James Hardens of the world or John Walls or Lou Williams or whatever, like, player you want to say is single and enjoying it. That is going to be a disadvantage for NBA teams. And I'm looking at the Houston Rockets and seeing James Harden not reporting to camp. And I'm just saying to myself, like, is this being talked about enough? Is just the idea of like the guys who go, what I was when I was in college or what have you, I would want to say I would be a very bad listener to rules. I would not be good at listening to rules that say, hey, stop being, a socialite and going out and hanging out with people. I have a really hard time following those rules. And for NBA players who have like that nucleus at home that they don't feel the need to go out and socialize, I feel like they're going to be at an advantage this season and therefore their team is going to be at an advantage.
Couldn't that go the other way too, though? The guys who are normally going out and partying and doing things that are probably bad for their on-court product are now going to be trapped inside and not able to do all that stuff that limited their play before.
Well, where is a will?
I don't think access is going to be an issue here.
Weed is free now. Yeah. No testing.
And the PS5 just came out.
Stay at home, smoke some weed.
It's going to be some great hot boxing.
Wait, Trey, weed is hot free boxing or one? It's just legal?
Well, it's not free, but it's test free.
It's free.
I mean, when you're a millionaire, it's considered free in this standpoint because it's a limited budget for that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
All right, so Steven Silas was asked about James Harden's commitment to the Rockets, and he gave the answer like he pretty much has to give, but he said that's a question you're going to have to ask him when he gets here.
Steven Silas is already had enough, man.
That's
Coach Dad.
Here's my guess.
Right,
my guess is he's just not, Dave, he's not interested in answering these kind of questions, right? Well, he kind of has to in some way, but My guess is like he just wants to keep it about the basketball, and until he can do that, like you deflect,
right?
Because also, like, what can he say that, like, yeah, of course he's committed. Like, he don't, like, he can't say that. He can't come out and say like, no, he's not committed at all. Look, he's not here. What are you talking about? Like, he's got to just kind of deflect, right?
Well, if he doesn't, then he's given up, you know. Like, and then yeah. James Harden's even more aggrieved. And I thought that the best thing he did was he pointed out that he had an individual workout tonight. So literally he did pass the buck, and now, you know, eventually I guess James is going to have to show up to practice. None of us think that he's actually going to hold out, right?
No.
I think PJ Tucker. No. So PJ Tucker still isn't there, which, you know, no one's paying attention.
He also supposedly has a workout tonight.
Right.
An individual workout. Yeah.
I'm wondering like how much of this is, all right, well, let's drag our feet so that we can put, you know, the coach and the front office and the owner to the fire for a couple of extra days. It might be genius.
You know what's going to be funny is when this comes out Monday morning, right? This podcast, and we have no idea that neither of those guys showed up. That's what's going to be funny is that neither of those guys made their Sunday night workout.
Nah, they'll be there. They'll be there. I think more so the importance right now for James is just, you know, he prioritized little baby's birthday party over the team.
Yeah, how could
and
you
that
not?
Just shows where he is. But he also is a walking 30 regardless. So you're going to – it's not like he's just going to really pack it in.
Well,
he's
yeah, Trey, so that's what I was about to say is that James Harden has basically never played on a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like he's yeah. never played on a team that doesn't at the very least make the playoffs.
But Waz, hold on real quick. He's always – I had this argument with some Rockets fans on Twitter who surprisingly not handling this well. And he's made the playoffs every single year. You don't think he's going to make the playoffs? I was like, he's been bought in all those years in Houston. He's not bought in anymore. So, like, I think he can still get his numbers, but I think there's going to be a big difference in trying to figure out, is he getting his numbers or is he getting his numbers and contributing to the team concept, right?
But he was bought into – exactly the role he wanted. So it's not like it took a lot to get him to buy into being the ISO guy, the I'm driving everything for this offense guy. That's everything he wanted. It's not like he bought in as much as they built their system to be exactly what he wanted from them.
But it's not going to change.
So I'm not sure. Yeah, well, now they want him to change, and that's where
do they?
That's where the issue
could be. I'm not sure
that
they – even if they want him to change, they got 3 weeks of some sort of weird training camp to try to implement a whole new offense, and they didn't really change a lot of the parts. You know, they added Christian Wood, who, as we just talked about, is he any good or not? I don't think that they can go away from what they've been doing. It's just too short of a turnaround.
Hey, I just think when John Wall has spoken to James Harden from Jonathan Fagan, that Harden for sure wants to be in Houston.
Okay, there you go. John Wall got it on good authority.
There you go. You know what I mean? They both want to wear red.
Be ready.
Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Make it happen. And they got the new threads, man. The Oiler theme. So there you go.
The Rockets are done, man.
Does that
they
corollary
were done before
work for the Hornets?
Russ asked out. They're still done now, whether Harden shows up or not. Their time has come to an end. At some point, they're going to have to trade Harden.
He's getting moved this year. Like I find it impossible to believe that he's not.
So
getting moved
is there a Harden Giannis Antetokounmpo swap? That trade deadline?
No. Well, Giannis has.
Well, I'm just saying, if Giannis doesn't sign, probably.
I think the Bucks. I think the Bucks will ride that into the sunset. Like I think the Bucks will just be like, "Oh, we can re-sign him."
I'm not trading Giannis for James Harden. Yeah.
That would be funny though. I kind of wish that would happen. I really do, Tom. That would be Giannis for James Harden. It would remind me, Tom. It remind me of when the Rockets traded for Russell Westbrook, and all of a sudden they had, you know, Rockets fans had to pretend they love Russell Westbrook. And so both franchises having to now pretend that they like the other guy.
Oh, it'd be a disaster. It'd be a disaster. I mean, I would say James Harden and Giannis trade would be kind of like the opposite of the Wizards Houston trade, where like they both wanted out and they got into new situations they kind of have to make right. I think if they both got swapped, like Giannis for James Harden, they'd both want to immediately get traded.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd both try to get out. It's like we're unhappy where we are, or we don't want to be where we are long term. And then you send me somewhere where I'm like, I'm also not happy here. So I think poor Steven Silas, when you're looking at the situation that he signed on to, and maybe he knew that this was going to be a combustible situation. I mean, you kind of have to imagine, right? But he's got to make sure to revitalize John Wall's career, Christian Wood, and DeMarcus Cousins. Like, they all have to be happy around the most ball-dominant MVP in the league.
Does Boogie – hold on. Does Boogie need to be happy?
My dog or the player?
The player. I mean, you know, like, this is – I mean, this is a guy they could easily just cut if he's not any good. I don't know if Boogie should be factor. Maybe he will factor in, but I don't necessarily
I don't think he
should.
I don't think he has that. I don't think he has that leeway yet.
Yeah, I think if he comes out and he's balling, then maybe he starts building up that kind of, you know, I guess leverage within the team concept. Uh-huh. But I think Christian Wood's going to be the main thing for them anyway. So
yeah. That's my expectation.
Poor Steven Silas, man.
That's a rough job.
Yeah, it sucks.
He finally got a head coaching job after deserving one for a while, and then walks in. It's like Russ wanted out. Harden may still want out. Here's John Wall, who hasn't played in 2 years and is even in his prime was like tough to coach around because of the limitations there. You got Cousins coming back after some time away like that. And the whole
he's
roster
got
is guys
for
who Teeter probably won't
as
be there long term.
I was just about to say, he's got the ultimate handcuff there. And the thing is, if they somehow succeed, it's all James Harden. And if they don't, why did it take him so long to get a job?
But Dave, what does that mean if they succeed?
See, because like they're not the title contenders. No. They're like hoping to make the playoffs. I think if you look at what they've done, right? Like they've got worse.
I think realistic best case scenario for them is they trade for Ben Simmons. Is a James Harden Ben Simmons swap with whatever other pieces included. But like that seems like the best outcome possible for this situation. By the deadline, just because you'd get a really damn good player in return who's younger and you can try to figure out how to build around.
Yeah, of the realistic options, you know. Yeah. Brooklyn just – I'm sure I'm not alone here – just doesn't seem like that's a realistic spot at all.
I mean, I don't know. Like, guys have forced their way to – I mean, like, Jimmy Butler wanted to go to Miami. They had zero – cap space. All they had was Josh Richardson and Hassan Whiteside to trade.
But you had the sign and trade.
They got him. Like, I think if a guy wants to go there, he'll figure out a way.
Yeah. The 2 years left on the contract. I mean, if we're having the same conversation next summer, okay, I totally get it. I just don't think the Rockets need to move him right now. He's not like he's going to lose value. I just think you ride it out and hope you make the playoffs. You know, Tillman wants that revenue.
The Jrue Holiday thing is what throws a monkey wrench in it for me. Because it's like, if I was about to call them the Hornets. If the Pelicans can get all that they got for Jrue Holiday, I don't see why I should be settling for Spencer Dinwiddie and some paperclips. I don't understand
that. And Spencer Dinwiddie can opt out next summer.
Exactly. And so,
no, but you're also getting LeVert. You'd be getting Jared Allen. You'd be getting... picks,
and LeVert's like, 27, I think, and can be a free agent after next year.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to re-sign dudes, but whatever. Then you throw big money at them to keep.
I think Brooklyn has enough to get the deal done. It's just whether they want to – I think they have some leverage here because they already have Kyrie. They already have Kevin Durant. They already have, like, a team that can contend in the Eastern Conference if everything goes well. And so if you're Brooklyn, you're like, all right, if your asking price starts to come down and we don't have to give up all of our assets, then we can talk turkey. But if you're Houston,
they should give up every asset.
I mean, I think the issue though with that, Tom, is that there will be other suitors, right? Like once Daryl Morey says, like, hey, well, what about Ben Simmons? Now if you're Brooklyn, like, you gotta give up a lot.
Right.
Because you can't match a Ben Simmons offer.
You can't. You know, if I'm Brooklyn, I can understand that you're trying to build some leverage here as we get into training camp. And if James Harden is going to create that much of a circus of just like not returning to camp and having the coach basically call you out in public, your rookie head coach, how long can that last before, you know, Houston just says, you know what, we're gonna trade him for 60 cents on the dollar.
Right.
And so that's where Brooklyn's like, all right, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Houston said they were fine being uncomfortable, but it's already very uncomfortable, right? Like it's day one. It's pretty damn uncomfortable. And so now, you know, whose metal gets tested the most here may determine just how quickly. But I mean, James being, you know, locked up for a few more years, you know, Dave, you're right. Like it doesn't create a timeline unless that discomfort, that awkwardness just becomes overwhelming. Then I think that timeline actually really exists and really gets a lot shorter.
But back to Waz's Drew Holiday point, if they did move now, they could ask for a ton. And they would expect to get it.
You would have to. I mean, it's James Harden. You would have to.
The Warriors called about him. You know, like.
Yeah.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
I wonder if Kyrie Irving will like release an email statement about this whole situation if they get James Harden. Or will he come to the podium and talk? Waz, I know you've got some thoughts on this. I had some thoughts on this as well. I don't know that our thoughts went over all that well. Player empowerment Twitter.
One guy said that I need to be stepped to, like essentially somebody needs to beat me up physically.
So here's
because I insinuated that Kyrie Irving is unprofessional.
This is what I think happened, right? I think a lot of people learned that media obligations are actually part of the job.
Yes.
And then their argument was, yeah, but still.
Right.
Like, yeah. I think that's what happened the other day.
It's always going to be, yeah, but still.
Right.
Nobody ever gets it until they actually have to be on this side.
Right. And I think Brian Windhorst maybe said something on a podcast or on TV. I don't know. I just saw like an aggregation of an aggregation. And I was too lazy to actually go do my homework before doing this podcast. But it was that Kyrie Irving is going to do a media blackout all season. Now, I don't think that's the case. I don't want to go against Brian's potential reporting here.
In New York, okay?
Well, it's also like the league isn't – like this team is on national TV a bunch, Tom. Like this isn't – that's not how the league is going to – like the league can force the team or can, you know, influence the team to fine him. Like there's all this stuff that can happen. I'm fine with him proving a point on some level, but also like it's part of your job. Just go do your job. You don't have to say anything, by the way. You could just give us – Both teams played hard, like – Rasheed Wallace, this thing, man.
Guys, are we not realizing that we just saw this happen with Kevin Durant with the Warriors? And they're on the same team now.
Yeah. Oh, that's where he got it from.
New York is going to be so fun. Those guys are going to get chewed. Like,
the only other superstar that did a, I am going on a media ban. I am now no longer taking questions from the media. I'm a star and they want questions. I'm not going to answer them. Is one of his teammates, his new teammates that's supposed to, they're supposed to be kumbaya and everything's going to be great. And they're going to share the ball. And it's going to be great. I look at this Brooklyn Nets situation and last year they were my biggest sell, like, hammer the under on whatever wins were on the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm saying the same thing this year too. There's so much here that it looks like all the deepest insecurities about what Kyrie Irving brings to a basketball team. It's already happening.
And that's without even talking about the fact that Kevin Durant's coming off an Achilles tear.
Right.
It says a lot about Kyrie that my initial thought was, you know what? This might actually help the Nets if he goes
into hiding and never speaks.
Because, I mean, throw away the fact that it's a terrible look for him and the fact that, like, it's part of his job to speak to the media. And as a media guy, I always want players to speak as much as possible. But he just says disruptive things all the time and he can't get out of his own way. And so this is basically him saying, I can't trust myself for 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day just to not say anything stupid. That's it. All he has to do is stand up and say, you know what? I like Jared Allen. I'm a big fan of Kevin Durant. Our coaching staff is doing a good job. That's it. But he can't. He can't trust himself to do that. And he thinks, you know, obviously he's had a long history of beefing with the media. It shows a lot about him. That was my first thought. I was like, you know what? This could really help the Nets that Kyrie won't say anything fucking nuts.
Here's the thing, Jay. It's a couple of things for me. First of all, and I'm never the person that's counting people's money. I'm not somebody whose hand is in people's pockets like, yo, you're making this amount of money. But the bottom line is, you signed a contract for $150 million, right? The league didn't get to a point where guys are able to sign those contracts because superstars who are as popular and as important to the league as Kyrie were behaving like he was. If everybody was a complete and utter dick to media, y'all would never be in a position to sign those kinds of deals. And so that's one thing that's kind of annoying me about Kyrie. It's like it's an ignorance of reality. Like, you don't become popular by being a dick to everybody.
It's bad for publicly. Business.
It's bad for business. Mm-hmm. That's
one. I might disagree on that one.
Right. Now, hold on. Let me ask you guys a question, because I've tried to think about this from both sides. Do you guys put any thought to the idea that Kyrie is just extra upset because of the way he was treated in the run-up to the bubble? Remember,
this guy was dragged for
reasonable concerns. And I just, you know, I just kind of want to treat him a little bit like a human being here instead of Kyrie Irving.
Dave, first of all, that's bullshit, because if you talk to anybody who talks to anybody, Kyrie has no credibility amongst his peers. His peers don't respect him.
But he's a,
I'm sorry,
he's a player union VP.
Everybody knows nobody wanted that job, Dave. Stop.
But they also,
that's
have
not
like
a job
VPs,
that people campaign for. That's not a job that people's like, oh, I'm lining up to be that. Nobody wanted that job. And again, it was well sourced at the time when Kyrie did his little fucking bubble coup. Players were like, yo, what's up with this dude? Reporters reported they talked to players who he has no credibility amongst his own peers.
But Waz, what maybe Dave's point is maybe Kyrie is feeling a certain way about the media, even if it's misplaced.
Right.
Is
that absolutely.
He's lashing out to the media when really he's just mad about his place among his stature among players and among media or whatever.
I mean, obviously, a lot of this has to do with the Woj article about like Kyrie the Disruptor, right?
Right.
I think there is a lot to what Waz is saying. I also think there is plenty to what Dave's saying. Like, Kyrie brought up good points. Mm-hmm. Now, he's maybe not the messenger to bring up those points.
Absolutely.
But he brought up a lot of good points. He did a lot of good stuff, you know, did good stuff for the WNBA players who opted out. He did a lot of good, and it was mostly just focused on the disruptor part. Now, my thought on that would be, well, maybe you need to look at why people have this perception of you, right? And it doesn't negate the good you do. But maybe you need to do a little bit more to repair that image.
But why? People have been kissing your ass your whole life. Why would you do that?
No, but that's the thing, right? Is like if you want to repair that image, then you can do the work to do that by speaking to media, by doing plenty of hit. And look, I don't give a fuck if Kyrie Irving talks to me. It doesn't affect me in any way. What it affects is like the local beat writers, yep. right? The people who cover that team. That's who need that.
Oh,
I don't think people understand. I don't think the casual fan understands that. Like, all of this stuff is PR and publicity and press for the league. Like every bit of reporting, every bit of beat writing, every bit of national coverage. It's all there to drum up interest in some way to make you either watch the local broadcast, which they can get ratings and then go negotiate local TV contracts that bring in money for the team, or help boost national interest that then brings you to nationally televised games, which, by the way, the Nets have a fuckload of them this year, and go into that and boost ratings, and then the league gets another big chunk. Or maybe you decide you know, in a normal time, you really like this team because of the stuff you've consumed on them. You're excited about them. So now you're going to go to a game, right? Like, there's all these different tiers of where that interest could generate. Now, him, one player not talking on media day is not going to submarine the whole system at all, right? Like, it's exactly. Not like, oh, Kyrie Irving didn't talk. There goes the money. But the point is that the league cannot let star players look at what Kyrie Irving did and say, ooh, yeah, we're all going to do this, because then that fucks with the money. And that's the number one rule in everything.
It's bad
don't fuck
for
with
business.
The money. Yeah, right. Exactly, Trey. Yes. It's bad for
but
business.
But they also don't understand that these stories helps the business just the same. So it's kind of like they right. both need to coexist.
Yeah, it's
crazy
a
headlines
yeah.
lure in the consumer.
Well, nobody wins, yes. right?
That's the thing. I don't think – I think it's a bad look for somebody as important to the league as Kyrie to be skirting his responsibilities and basically thumbing his nose at the established norm. Like, it's literally negotiated into your fucking deal.
Well, it's just not him either, though. It's, you know, you got guys like Draymond Green. You got other people that's just kind of very vocal at the moment. And – it's really never been an issue to this day. You know what I mean? Like, right. Do you think it's weird because media is on social media? Dog, it's a form of media. What are we talking about right now? Right. Like,
well, I think what the problem here really is also is when Kyrie Irving takes a last second shot and doesn't pass to Kevin Durant, who is wide open, and then skirts the media, who does that fall onto? When he doesn't talk, who's going to be
Jared
mad?
Allen,
Joe Harris,
exactly. Jared Allen, it's
Karis LeVert, Dinwiddie,
Kevin Durant, like all these
Harden.
People who have to answer the questions that are supposed to go to Kyrie, but he's not. He's jumping out and leaving the locker room early. Like, that stuff matters. Like that
of course
the locker room is going to get fractured because after these games
the locker room will get more fractured if he talks.
No, come on.
Jay with the Boston PTSD. And another thing that kind of triggered me too is Ben Simmons, who's essentially a mute. He don't do media like that. He does his obligation. He kind of moves on with life. He's not out there. He shows up the first day at camp. Everybody, it's an open secret that him and Joel Embiid aren't exactly like Bron and AD and having Taco Tuesdays together. And he comes out and he says, nah, me and Joe are going to get an apartment together.
Yeah.
I'm joking. Joe's a great player. We want to win. We're going to work hard. Move on with my day. Ben Simmons, a young guy. He's not a 10-year vet like Kyrie. He's a young guy. And he doesn't even talk. And he was able to easily just do this shit.
I wonder if...
And Kyrie's like, COVID-19 has made it so that I'll never talk to the media again. What the...
Whatever. I don't think this is a permanent plan for Kyrie. I think he... I kind of, you know, funny enough, I think he just kind of wanted to disrupt things for a little bit. So he was Kyrie the Disruptor, oddly enough. But I don't, like, I just think that Man, I wonder like what Nets PR's day must have been like as soon as that email came out. Like that must have been a nightmare.
Not fun.
And the casual fan, again, the casual fan's not going to give a shit. The casual fan probably doesn't like sports media. Like that's just how it goes. Because unless you're pumping up their team, like oh you got an agenda against them and all this stuff. Like that's a large perception of a casual fan because that's just a perception of media in general, right? As like there's an agenda, which you know. Yeah, sometimes there is. Sometimes there absolutely is an agenda.
So to peel back the curtain a little bit is when a reporter has a scoop on locker room drama, the reporter is going to try to confirm it with the parties involved and be like, hey, the agent for Kyrie or Kyrie himself or Kyrie's manager, we're going to run this story next on Tuesday. Do you have any comment? And if Kyrie Irving is not going to comment and be like, yo, I'm not messing with you. Like, I'm not talking. That story runs on Tuesday. And then he's going to get mad that it wasn't fair to him, like that he didn't get the right angle on the story or like he didn't get the real story. And it's like, that's why you want to talk to media. That's why you need to have an open conversation with reporters so you don't see a report in whatever publication and be like mad about it. Like reporters are going to go and check in, not because they want to like have an axe to grind against you. It's like, hey, we have this set of facts here. Do you have anything you want to comment or disagree with? No. Yes. Oh, what do you think is the right angle here? Or what's your side of the story? Oh, maybe we get this wrong. Like working with the media to get not positive spin, but just getting your viewpoint in there, that can work for you. And so if you're going to be antagonizing a reporter and stonewalling them from having any sort of, you know, sourcing, that's not going to work for you. You're not going to be happy with what's being written there. And even worse, you had an opportunity to change what the story of record was. And instead you decided to shy away from that. So I think for Kyrie, if he's upset by the way the media is portraying him, then I think he needs to not run away from the media. I think he actually needs to strengthen that relationship with reporters because that could be a really ugly situation. It's where reporters are feeling like, hey, if Kyrie's not going to talk to me, then guess what? This story's running.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like we're doing right now. Right?
Right.
He's got to talk more about him than we would have.
Unless he's got a dope-ass newsletter that he's ready to unleash on a daily basis.
He's going
to
be on Substack.
Substack. I'm in.
Of all the times to do it, this is the weirdest one because right now you – like. Reporters are going to have the least amount of access. And this is, you know, if things go back to normal ever. But you've got to sit in front of a freaking laptop for 15 minutes. It's not that hard. You can ignore questions. I mean, it's just
I almost wonder how crazy it's going to be, Zach, though?
Like thinking about after a bad game and he types it up on his iPhone and then sends it.
and then they
print it out and they say, this is a statement from Kyrie.
He does Kyrie it from is his the new Lawrence Frank.
But here's the one thing, though. All right. So everything's going to be recorded, right? We're all watching the Zooms after anyway.
But, oh, fuck no. I'm not watching
But the thing about it is there is to a certain degree for the players, there still is the aggregation stuff that happens. Like Kyle Kuzma gives a really good answer to a question. I thought it was a good answer. It was a basketball answer. And people took it out of context. I mean, someone tweeted it out of context. And Kyle Kuzma gets dragged all over again on Twitter. He left Twitter because he got dragged rightfully the first time. And I think stuff like that, it gets lumped in with what reporters are doing every day. Instead of, you know, the players maybe being a little bit more educated on the difference. Like, do NBA players know, you know, the difference between an aggregation outlet and, you know, what the Athletic does?
I don't know that they should care, right?
I know that there are some teams that actually, like, explain it to guys. Like, there are the sports talk radio guys. That's one thing.
Right.
They're the aggregators, the Bleacher Reports, whatever. That's another thing. Then there are the beat writers. That's another thing. Like I know some teams explain it to players, but I don't know if every player takes it to heart. And I know that Kyrie, he blames the media, I think, for some of the stuff. But if you look at back at like his time in Boston and the stuff he blamed the media for, one was the video of him and Kevin Durant when there was talk about him teaming up with Kevin Durant. Well, that one came to fruition. the other was how he was dividing the locker room because he was calling out the young guys all the time Well, Jaylen Brown came out and called him out. It's like, yeah, he was dividing the locker room. And that's what the stuff he was mad about. And instead of looking at himself and being like, I could just say regular things. I don't have to say combative stuff with the media. I could just say cliches like a lot of these other guys. But he's never gone that route. He's never helped himself. And this is just another example of Kyrie making it tougher than it has to be.
To that point, though, I don't know that regarding the aggregation, like, I don't know that it should matter to players, the difference between that, because once you're getting dragged, you're getting dragged.
Right.
Right? Like, it's if you care about the public perception, I don't know that you care necessarily that, hey, my words were taken out of context. My words were aggregated in a weird way. I think it's just like, yo, these people are
all over me.
I disagree
entirely. As a beat writer, like, my relationship with a player shouldn't change because the aggregators are saying this and that. Like, I come at it a whole lot differently than somebody like that
for
is going
sure,
to do.
For sure, but I'm saying if you're the player, though. If you're the player, once you're getting dragged, I don't know that you give a shit how it came about. I think you just care that you're getting dragged. I think that's a very human response. You're going to want to defend yourself. You're going to want, like, that's going to be a natural reaction. But, man, once you're getting dragged, like, I don't know if you give a fuck that, like, Hoop 99 Central Legion or whatever the fuck the aggregation side is. Like, I don't think you're going to care that they got the aggregation wrong, right? Like, it's just that it's out there. It's got, you know, 10,000 retweets or whatever, and your mentions are terrible.
And look, there are a lot of players that don't have issues with that because they're not saying crazy things all the time. It's the guys who say, who can't get out of their own way that it really impacts. And Kyrie's one of those guys. Like, look at all the guys who have helped themselves, even in this era of social media and aggregation. There are a lot of guys that have enhanced their image, used all that to enhance their image. And so
are we in too much in the journalism bubble here to understand that, like, Kyrie's a wildly popular player?
Wildly
Man,
popular.
Tom, people offered to fight me. Literally on the internet. Like, I will fight you.
That's so
You're
funny.
A coward. You're a horrible person. Kyrie lives rent-free in your brain. All of this shit. I'm like, yo, fam, like, man is skirting his duties. Like, what are y'all talking about? And so, yeah, I think you're right, dude. Like, he is immensely popular amongst a certain set of people.
He's got one of the most popular.
He's a bit of a cult leader.
He's got one of the most popular signature shoes we've seen.
Yep.
That shit moves.
Whatever Kyrie has done,
he owns the
kid market,
though.
Yeah, kids love him. Kids love him, man.
It's like crazy, man.
Well, it's because they're not teaching science in school anymore.
He's the king. here you go. He's the king of jelly. You know what I mean? When you think about all that, and then also to be back, quote unquote, home in New York, you know, he's going to be, you know what I mean? It depends, like, how the Nets do this season.
Yeah.
It's going to be make or break. You know what I mean? And I couldn't imagine him being a Knick. I think the Nets is less pressure.
Yeah.
But it's just pretty much going to be make or break this season for him, whether he's beloved or ran out of town.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
From a guy that everyone wants to talk more to a guy that everyone wishes would stop talking, Doc Rivers responded to some Paul George comments today. So obviously Paul George went on, was it All the Smoke that he went on?
Yeah.
Yeah. He went on All the Smoke with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And basically, like, made every excuse he could as to why last season wasn't his fault and why things went poorly. And so, you know, he had mentioned that Doc Rivers was trying to use him like Ray Allen. I think Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer quickly dispelled that idea that was like, no, actually.
He was like, well, actually,
you've never run so much pick and roll in your life. you've never done this much of this thing that wasn't Ray Allen. And after,
not
like,
only
Seattle.
Are you doing it at rates that is previous to your other seasons, you're doing it more.
Oh, it was like Mari Povich.
Yes. No, the lie detector determined that was a lie. What?
Right. Yeah, no, no.
You are the father.
Yeah. Well, actually, I wouldn't mind Kevin O'Connor being a new Mark Pope. I'm into that idea. And then Doc Rivers was asked about it on Sunday. This is from Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Doc said this about, you know, the Paul George comments about the lack of adjustments and blowing the lead and everything against the Nuggets. He said, "Hey, listen, I enjoyed coaching him, so not a lot to say there. Ty Lue was sitting right next to me, so he better hope it's not adjustments. It ain't going to be much different. Listen, we lost the game, and I think everybody needs to take ownership. Obviously, we can always do better. Players can play better. As far as I'm concerned, I'll leave it there."
Wow.
Did he just throw everyone under the bus there?
He did. Including himself.
But see, Doc is exactly. Doc is the anti-Kyrie. He's like the fucking... He's a Jedi when it comes to media relations.
Oh, yeah. Slide and the mic in front of him and just
and
sit back.
He's gonna get a message off.
He's gonna play jazz, man.
He's gonna get a message off. And he's like, "Look, bro, if you wanna blame it on me for you not making jump shots..." Unless Ty Lue is your shooting coach, bro. Like, I don't know what the hell you talking about.
It's funny. Like, it's funny to me because I think back to, it was game seven, right? Game seven where it's that spot of him in a timeout where Doc's begging his guys to play. He's begging them to reverse the course, right? And I think back to that, and then I think to the Paul George, or the report about Paul George's speech in game seven or after game seven in the locker room of like, "Hey, we're in this together," and everything, and people are rolling their eyes, and then Paul George's comments and everything. And look, I think Doc didn't do a great job of coaching this team, not getting them ready and motivated. They often look like it was just a squad playing pickup for the first time, but everyone's really good. I think there's things that Doc could have done, but I also look at, like, if there's a point where you are begging your team in a game seven to play defense and play better, yeah, that shit's broken. That shit's broken all around. And I don't know, like, I think Doc's at fault. I think Paul George's at fault. I think Doc throwing everyone under the bus is right.
Man, I look at this, I get so, like, riled up over the whole blown 3-1 lead thing. I don't know where you guys stand on this, but it's like, Doc Rivers and the Clippers won 3 games against the Denver Nuggets. Okay, they lost in 7 games. They blew that series. It looks terrible. Hindsight 2020. Like, of course Doc Rivers needs to be fired. I'm like, wait, but like, it's not like every team was gangbusters in the bubble. Like, this team was super loaded in terms of talent. They had new players coming in at the same time. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, with an already established culture in Doc Rivers and Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams. Like, it's not like they combusted in the first round and they were out. Like, I just think when Doc Rivers gets this Philly job and he makes shots at, you know, Kawhi and Paul George and Ty Lue and the whole thing that happened out there, I'm kind of like, yeah, man. Yeah. Like, Kawhi.
You gotta defend yourself, man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like it wasn't as bad. I feel like people were rooting against the Clippers to fail because they were the Lakers' nemesis, and it's LA and it's Kawhi and it's Paul George, and it's like a lot of big personalities there that are easy to root against in that situation. But like, I mean, I just think it's overblown, the Clippers' demise. Like, it's not that they got swept in the first round, people.
Tom, I don't think it's blown enough. I think we can blow it all night.
It's underblown.
I mean, Doc should have gone harder. Doc should have gone way harder.
Doc should have called up Udonis Haslem and be like, "Yo, you wouldn't talk to these guys during this timeout?"
I thought that this was pretty hard, motherfucker, though. You shot a wide open three off the backboard. You shot 39.8%.
He had more
adjustments.
Turnovers. He had
How
more
about
turnovers.
Having my stars show up?
He had
and
more
play.
Turnovers Come than on. Made field goals, man.
I've been thinking about the adjustments, right? Because I mean, certainly there were changes to be made. But like, the number
adjustment,
one thing
trade
was,
for the Lakers.
Can Paul George make a shot? That was the adjustment they needed the whole time. And it was just like, yeah, there were certain advantages that maybe Doc could have made as a coach. But I mean, I just don't get how you can be like lack self-awareness to that degree.
Dave, don't forget, you know, he was dealing with Paul George was dealing with two bad. Wait a minute. He got those fixed, didn't he? Oh, wait, they can't use that excuse anymore. That he had bad shoulders. And oh, man, I thought I had it.
But he hasn't played. He hasn't played pickup basketball in 3 months.
That's he wants to retire. Right, did he say he wants to retire a Clipper? Did I see that right?
Yes, he did say that as well.
I guess this is the last year.
He did before the playoffs, I thought.
Yeah, so next year we'll hear about how he grew up a Kings fan. It's going to be great.
Oh, man.
Hey, Palmdale might be closer to Sacramento than it is Los Angeles, so it works.
If I'm going to sell all the Brooklyn stock, I'm going to take all those shares, and I'm going to take that money that I made, and I'm going to put it into all of Philly stock.
Yes.
Whoa. I'm so yes. All Me over too. The Philadelphia 76ers this year.
Waz, were we a year early on the Sixers? Can we hipster this thing?
They burned me too bad, bro. I can't. I'm done with Philly.
Well, they actually have a basketball team now instead of just a collection of parts. I think they're going to be a lot better. And they were already, you know, they weren't awful last year.
I'm buying the Nets stock.
Get out of here, man.
Man, I'm just gonna hope that Kevin Durant is himself again, and I'll ride with that. I also believed in Philly last year, so what the fuck do I know? But I think I'm in on this Nets team. I would take the Nets stock. Oh, wow. I was going to say over the Sixers stock. I don't know if I believe that. Ah, fuck it. I'll take the Nets stock over the Sixers stock. As dumb as that may sound, Tom.
Yeah, as much as we just ragged on Kyrie and the whole combustibility of that situation, I just don't like the Ben and Joel thing. I'm just not into it. And, you know, I'd be happy to be wrong about it. If they make a move, if they got James Harden in there, I'd be back on board. I just don't like the mix of Ben and Joel just as, you know, your primary resources for quality offense. I'm off it, man.
They also downgraded in talent. I know they fit a lot better now, but to go from Josh Richardson to Seth Curry, who's a way better fit, but he's not as talented. But you lose Al Horford, who, even though he wasn't a good fit, like, he's still got some left as a player. They're not as talented now. They're not like a sheer talent team.
But Jay, didn't the Celtics lose talent like an offseason ago?
Oh, absolutely.
And get better, right? Yes. Like, I mean, that can work. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong here in terms of the talent.
I think they'll be better, but I don't
think
they're like East favorites.
No. That's definitely the Miami Heat.
I think Seth Curry. I think Seth Curry is a star amplifier. Because of his shooting is so good. He's not JJ Redick with the dribble handoffs and stuff with Embiid. But if you look at his numbers with Damian Lillard in Portland, and if you look last year with Luka and Kristaps, like, he amplifies other stars because they can't help off of him. And so I think when you look at Seth Curry's deficiencies, they're very much compensated by the fact that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are elite defensive players. And so if you're going to pick a team to put Seth Curry, who is an all-time great shooter, who doesn't play much defense at all, you're putting him on the Sixers. Like, you're putting him on a team that has shown they have two guys who, if they are applied defensively and involved defensively, they're elite. And Seth Curry, it does the one thing that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid need, which is to shoot the lights out. And so when you look at their offensive rating, when they had JJ Redick on the floor and Jimmy Butler on the floor, of course, Jimmy Butler, there's no Jimmy Butler on this team right now. But when this team is surrounded by shooters, like, they are great offensively. And so that's what Daryl Morey did this offseason, was like, let's get shooting and more shooting. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they – I know this is going
to probably
be –
Okay, well, I just realized why Tom is on this
team. Oh, no.
It just clicked.
Listen, he's right, though. 2 years ago
– It all just clicked
2 years ago,
me.
Ben and Joel together on the court were like plus 9.5 per 100 possessions. Last year it was plus 4.5. I mean, there was a big drop when they lost that shooting.
I'm not going to let Waz throw Tom under the bus here. When Waz is the ultimate panderer when it came to Daryl Morey. No one has ever pandered as hard to Demo as Waz. We're not going to.
Yes, I'm a fraud. Yes, I know. I am a fraud.
Yo, all right, so here's a little story. We had Daryl Morey on the pod a couple years ago, and Waz, we were getting ready for it, and Waz had been like trashing Daryl Morey on our pod for like weeks, just killing the Rockets, killing Daryl Morey's like analytics, like whole money ball thing. And I was like, yo, Waz, just we got Daryl Morey on this show. Just take it easy on him. And I was a little worried. I was a little worried for Wozni Lambray and Daryl Morey on the same pod. I thought it was just
going to
be
And then what happened?
What happened was you were his agent. You were talking up Daryl. Oh, I was reading this book by Michael Lewis, and on this page it was like, you know, Daryl, I just thought, you know, you're just light years ahead of everybody. You're just like, you were his agent. You were talking him up, and Daryl, I think at one point was like, Who are you again? Like, Waz, I like this guy. And
he followed
like,
me on Twitter for like 3 days.
Yeah, but then once you slander the Rockets just once, then that follow goes away. Trust me. Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was an amazing heel turn. Is Waz was just killing this dude.
I can sense Tom being like, wait, what the fuck is going on right now?
So when you're coming at me because I'm pro Sixers because now they got Daryl Morey, man, that's gonna backfire big time.
Shouts to Demo, my former Twitter friend, man.
He's not following
I'm
you
gonna
anymore?
Take it back to actual basketball talk for a second.
Yes, do that.
I think the greatest benefit to building a roster that actually makes sense with the shooting around those guys is you get to see whether Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons can coexist. And I think this is a trial run for those guys. Like, maybe they don't have enough talent around those guys to win a championship, but you get to see whether they can coexist and whether, accentuated by the right pieces, they can work. And I think they can, but they were never going to with the roster that was built last season. And now they get a chance to see, like, okay, Is this a long-term solution, or are we ultimately going to have to trade one of these guys?
And, like, that's fair. That's fair that, like, they haven't won a championship yet. So when you're dealing with two superstars or star players, if you quibble with the idea of Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid being a superstar. But, like, that's true for a lot of duos in the league. And let's not forget, they went to those bounces off the rim with Kawhi Leonard in a game 7 of the eventual NBA champions from moving on to the next round. So the idea that they can't coexist and win games, I think we've seen them coexist and they went toe to toe with the eventual champions. Maybe you want to quibble with the fact that they won a championship against the Warriors that were depleted without Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, but still, like, we know that they are up there with the elite of the elite in the playoffs, and it didn't work out for them because of that bounce.
Man, if they had won that game, I wonder how Mike Budenholzer blows that series against the Sixers. That looks like.
Like, we've seen Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid thrive together. We have. It just was a couple years ago with J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler. Can they do it again? We'll see, but I'm betting on it. I think that I'm high on the 76ers this year because they have a core that have played together. They know what they're doing, and I think they have the right pieces around them to make a run this year.
And you can get more analysis like that from Tom Haberstroh's podcast. The Haberstroh Show or the Haber Show?
It started out as the Haberstroh Show, and there was a Kyrie-like army, like Waz was describing earlier, that was like, how could you not call it the Haber Show? And I was like, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. So we changed it to the Haber Show. So the Haber Show, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, now if you got Stromile Swift to be your co-host, would it be the Haberstroh Show?
That is a great question. Stro. It's like Mike and Mike. We just go Stro and Stro.
Yeah, Stro and Stro. There you go. We can check that out wherever you find podcasts, just like you can do that with this podcast, the Athletic NBA Show, and No Dunks, and all of our team-specific shows right there on the Athletic Podcast Network. Find them anywhere you get podcasts. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. What a delightful buddy to have on this basketball edition.
Hey, thanks for having me.
for Trey, for Waz, for Dave, for Jay, for Tom, for Jade. I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.